No. Yeah, I can just put it. What does it say? Totally Driven.
Totally Driven Entertainment.
Driven Entertainment. And that's Facebook.
Yep, we're on Facebook. It's actually live right now. I'm going to pull the link off. I'm going to send it over to you.
Facebook. Are you sending it to me? How are you sending it? In PM?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me see. Get my other glasses on for this. Where the fuck did they go? There they are. Yeah, my eyes are droopy tired, so I had to wear sunglasses.
I'm going to go over to your official Facebook page.
I just sent it to my PM. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. All right. Not yet.
Oh, damn. So how do I send you a message here on your Facebook page? It's not popping up.
Send it to my my PM. PM me. Don EV. D-O-N, and then the letter E, and then V-I-E.
There you go.
You find me?
I got you now.
All right.
Sending you a message. I just sent you a friend request. Sending you a message. All right, what's going on? Bay Ragney here, Rockin' Ragney Show. We got some people tuning in already. As you see, the man next to me, the king of pop rock himself, the one and only Donnie V. We're gonna be talking about his new song that came out today. But before we get into the new song, the music, and everything else happening in the world of Donnie, I gotta tell everybody, today's show and all the shows are brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Dan Pizzi and his team of professional realtors, they provide guidance, knowledge, information to all buyers and sellers. Visit nexthomebrandywine.com for all the details or to contact an agent. They do service the Philly and surrounding areas, but they also handle nationwide referrals because they have offices set up in 48 of the states. So nexthomebrandywine.com. Be sure to ask for an NH5 listing special, and you can call them directly at 484, that's 364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. Tell them you heard all about it on Totally Driven Radio. NextHomeBrandywine.com. So here he is, the man, the myth, the legend himself, the one and only
How you
Donnie
doing,
B. Good, man. How you doing? We're only 6 hours late, Don, but we got it together.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I've been doing a lot of unrock and roll stuff, building the studio and all this and that, you know.
That's cool, though. So,
Yeah.
you know, it's kind of crazy and kind of weird, like. We actually talked the first time was just about a year ago when your last solo album came out. And, you know, we had a blast in our interview and all. And, you know, when we parted ways that night after talking, it was like, all right, we're going to keep in touch and, you know, we're going to talk and this and that. And then it was like,
Yeah, you never called, man.
I never called and you know, I don't want to bother, you know what I mean? And then like 3, 4 months ago, I wake up one morning and I have text messages from you. I'm like, what the hell? That came out of nowhere.
I was just reaching out to, you know, all my friends and finding out how everybody's doing. You know, everybody was kind of freaked out there at that point. And, you know, you're one of my friends now. I told you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You truly meant it.
If I got your number, you're one of my friends. Sorry to bother you, man.
Oh, come on now. No bother. I was pleasantly surprised. I was shocked and surprised and very happy to hear from you.
Yeah, so was I. That's cool. Thank you.
So, the new single came out today. All My Favorite Things videos out there, and you say in the beginning of the video, how you had a major health scare last year. What happened?
Oh, my pancreas melted. The year before it was, let's see, it was 2019. It was the end of 2018 in like December or Thanksgiving. My pancreas just melted and, you know, I just was rushed to the emergency emergency room and spent about a month in the hospital. And
holy cow.
A couple different hospitals, and they couldn't. You know, I had the moment where the doctor came in and told me to get my affairs in order, you know, and all that shit. And I was like, you know, what do you mean? I'm going to die? And he's like, very possible. I'm like, said, get the fuck out of my room. I said, you don't even know me. So that's not going to happen. But then when I got out of there, it was all about, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't eat anything. You can't eat pizza. You can't eat all this and that. You know, you can't smoke cigarettes. You can't do anything, basically. And I'm like, you know, I gave that about a month, you know, blueberries and melon, broccoli. It was about a month of that. And I said, yeah, you know, I feel all right. I think I'm just going to, you know, just play it cool. And because I had started drinking a little bit again as I was finishing up the record, because I didn't know why I was in pain, but my stomach and everything was really hurting. And I was trying to make the record and everything. And I just didn't have any enthusiasm. I just felt sick and sleepy and shit.
Right.
So I had to get like a vibe. So I started drinking a few beers, and I think that, that might've helped trigger it. Cause you know, I haven't been drinking. I don't drink or do drugs anymore. I quit all that stuff about 5 years ago.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I guess the important thing is, though, are you back to eating pizza?
Hell yeah, man. I'm back to, I do whatever the fuck I want. You know what I mean? It's just like I say in the song, you know, I'd rather live, you know, how on my own terms for a while and try to play it cool than stick around for another 10, 20 years, you know, like living like that. And blueberries, no cigarettes, and, you know, no fun, basically, you know, nothing I like to do. So that was when I started writing this song. And then there's another song that the label and I we agreed that would be a good one. It was before the pandemic, and it's this anthem that I had been trying to write for my whole career. Chip and I,
wow.
You know, Chip was always like, hey, man, we got to write this, you know, like one of those We Are the Champions or something like that. They could play sports or a beer commercial or something. And I finally wrote it. It's called Party Time. And we were getting ready to release that as a single. And all of a sudden the pandemic hit, and it's now Party Time. You know what I mean? And so
right.
the other one, the flip side, was going to be this one, All My Favorite Things. And that seemed perfect for the time. You know, it's everybody, you know, that seemed to be the general attitude of everyone's scared, you know, and, you know, it's like, it was, you know, it was frightening, you know, everybody's afraid that they're going to get this thing. It's like, you know, I was like, I said, until the first dead person appears to come back to life. So that's when we got to start worrying, you know, the zombie revolution, you know, but, yeah, they canceled our shows, and everybody's shows were canceled, and nobody was going out, nobody was doing anything. And I figured, well, this song, this really hits that, you know, that topic. And so it's well, the whole thing is going to be a 45 record, the old, you know, the vinyl.
Okay.
I'm not releasing an album, because I'm still putting this in. This is still in support of the Beautiful Things record, which I'm not. We won't give up on it. It's too good. I think it's too good a record. Label thinks it's too good. Everyone that's heard it loves it a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why we were getting ready to start playing live. I had my band together, and we were getting ready to do some shows to support the record and finally give it a push. You know, that's what you need to do.
Sure.
And then this happened. And so kind of shut it back, you know, and, but it's rescheduled, but you know, it's just, that seemed to be the general consensus of everybody's like, you know, I'd rather take, you know, I'll take my chances. You know, it's wearing down now. People just wearing their masks and going out and hanging out and doing shit again. And I hope people can relate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first off, I'm wearing my mask yeah. When I go out.
I'm wearing one right now. It's my dying mask.
But, so the other song that you said, the anthem is yeah. Party Time. So did you write that with Chip?
No, I haven't written anything with Chip, and I haven't really, I hate to say it, but really we didn't write too much shit together for quite a while. You know, the last Enough's Enough record we made, that real Enough's Enough, you know, record with me in it and everything, was a record called Dissidents, and that was 2009. And, I wrote that whole record. We really weren't writing together anymore. We really weren't communicating well, you know. And I was, you know, a lot of, you know, I had my issues. I was,
sure,
you know, pretty fucked up, and I was just very unhappy. And, you know, and you can be around thousands of people and still feel lonely, you know, and unhappy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of anxiety. My anxiety is really bad, or at least it was. And it's just one thing led to another. And hey, be quiet. And it just went downhill, you know. And we just decided, you know, that's enough of this right now. And hey, shut up. And you know, sorry about that. But you know, we just couldn't stand the sight of each other anymore. You know, it was 26, 27 years together, you know, and a lot of difference in opinion. And so, you know, it led up to, it came to a boiling point. I was out for a while, you know, and then we came back. I came back and it was still the same issues. They hadn't been resolved or handled or anything. And so, no, I didn't write this with Chip. I wrote.
But you guys are, like, it seems like on very good terms again.
We're speaking again. There's a song on the new Enough, his new record, Enough's Enough. They're releasing a new one next month. And I just kind of reached out that to him, you know, with this pandemic and everything, life is short. You know, I was thinking, and the fans really, I noticed it when I went on kind of a tirade, because there's a couple things happened that really, really pissed me off, and I just felt pretty violated. And you know, financially, it's difficult to go after a guy with attorneys and take it to court and everything if the ends don't justify the means. And so,
sure,
I just did a blast on Facebook for a while and just saying, here's what the fucker did to me, you know? And I know it didn't look cool, and I know how I looked, but I didn't care. It's anybody under those circumstances would have probably done the same thing, probably would have done worse.
right.
But I opted for not that. But yeah, I reached out to him, and he had texted me happy birthday. And so that was my opening, and just got into talking about some things. And he mentioned the new record, and I said, well, you know, the fans would probably love to hear something with me on it.
Yeah,
you know, we've already released a record, and that's not, you know, it's not what they're used to hearing. And I didn't, the reviews didn't look too good on it. And so I figured, let's give one for the fans. And he agreed. And so took a song that basically I'd written, and he contributed a little bit to it. And I tracked and sent it off to the guy that did Dissonance, the Vinny Castaldo. He's the guy played drums and mixed and co-produced Dissonance, and it's one of my favorite records. And he did the same thing with this one, only just we weren't in the same room. But, you know, sent it over to Chip. He played his stuff on it, and it's going on his new record, and I hope he releases it.
Well, I've seen the press releases out there and on the sites and all that. It's, you know, it's gonna be released, I think, next month. And, you know, it says you're on there, so the track listing is on there. But
Says a lot of things. Yeah, I hope so. But yeah, we're talking again. You know, I love loving him more than I hate hating him.
Do you think that could lead to maybe you doing an actual full Enough's Enough album with him at some point? Or
I'm not sure. You know, it's like you got to start somewhere. Some things would have to change. You know, there's have to be some issues resolved if that was going to happen. You know, and he likes things the way they are. You know, it's a lot, very much easier for him not dealing with me, you know, and he's got plenty of me to work with. You know, he's got the songs and everything. And he always, you know, he likes being in the spotlight. He likes doing that. And I like doing what I'm doing. You know, it's just Enough's Enough was a big part of my life, though. And to not have be entitled to owning any of the name, that didn't fit well with me. You know, like, sure, that's still what needs to be worked out. But who knows? I told him, I said, you know, if I'm not going to go and suit up again and get in a van or a bus or something like that and do that shit anymore. I'm not doing it even for my own band, you know, just
right.
Do shows, you know, good shows that are important and events, you know, not oversaturate and stuff. And so I mentioned it and we talked about it that if there, you know, if a situation arose where it made sense, there was a bridge that we'd cross when, if it was worth crossing.
What if somebody like Howard Stern, who was a huge fan of you guys over the years and a big supporter and always waved the flag for Enough's Enough. As a matter of fact, that's the only time I got to see the original lineup is when you guys played for his book signing in Philly. You played right on South Street. That's the only time I saw you guys live.
Yeah, that was close to the original lineup. As far as I'm concerned, that's what I think of as Enough's Enough. The original Enough's Enough is with Ricky Parent. He passed away.
Right. But what about if Howard Stern came to you guys and said,
part of the band. Yeah.
If Howard said, look, I want to see you guys. I want to see Donnie and Chip back together. Would you go for it? Chip would go for it? You think that could be the thing to bring it together?
Well, if Howard said something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
It depends on, you know, what the situation was. It's, like I said, if it was something that was worth doing.
Right, right. I mean, I could I have Chip's number. I could text Chip too and try to be I can be the fake Howard Stern and try to bring you guys back together fully.
Oh my goodness. Don't do it right now.
Oh man. But it's kind of don't you think it's kind of weird though, and like at this stage of the game, like you said though, like, you know, Chip likes doing and being in the spotlight. And you like doing your own thing.
Well, I don't, he likes to be, he always wanted to be a rock star. I just wanted to be a really good artist, you know? And,
right.
And that's always been my priority, that. And then it became very quickly about the fans and connecting right. with the fans. And my fans have always let me know that the music, I put it all out there. I don't hide anything. I've never lied about anything, about any of my issues or anything. And so mm-hmm. I sang about them. And that's why the fans I have are so strong, because I connected with them. They could relate, you know, I'm like the king of the broken. And so that was always my thing. It was the fans, it was the music, it was the songs, it was trying to, my dream was to write a song or a record that I thought, or that people thought was in the same vein or the same league as some of the things that I grew up, that my heroes. And I've been told that I've done that. So, you know, dreams come true. And that was mine. He wants to be a rock star. So.
Wow. Yeah. Now, have you listened to any of the Enough's Enough stuff without you on it?
A few things. Yeah. I haven't listened to the whole thing. I heard, you know, bits and pieces of some stuff. It's, you know, I've heard Chip my whole life. You know, I've heard his songs and they sound like Chip songs, you know. And
right.
You know, I listened to some of it. He's, if it wasn't for the fact of all its predecessors in the Enough's Enough that people know and love and that I was a fan of the band. Look at what he's doing on a objectively, I would probably think like it more, you know, because it is power poppy. And you know, it's you know, it's just that if it weren't for all of the stuff that came before it, it's hard. He's getting the comparison and there's a comparison, you know, of it's not, you know, people want to see the guy, want yeah. to hear the guy, you know, and I wrote those yeah. songs and I sang them and he didn't, and he didn't sing them. And now he is. So it's not the same band. It's not Enough's Enough.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And I really don't listen to much of anything because I'm so busy doing recording and writing my own stuff. And if I'm not doing that, I'm doing this and that, you know?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Now, something cool you did do, I guess it was a few months ago, you started this, you did a contest where you let the fans, yeah. you know, do a song with you. And they did like cover songs of stuff over your career.
Yeah. Well, what happened with that was my manager, real shortly after he joined the team, he was talking about, he dared me to do something modern and contemporary. And I don't have my finger on the pulse of that stuff. And he just mentioned Taylor Swift. And so I was like looking up Taylor Swift songs, and I found one that sounded kind of like something that I, in the vein of what I would write. And that was, what's the name of it? Shake It Off. And so he dared me. It was a challenge if I could do something with that and make it my own. And, because I have another project that I'm doing it's called Donnie V and the Blue. It was called the St. Joe County Dope Whores, but that name was kind of a turnoff.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, it's old classic numbers that are Stevie Wonder, Jackson 5, different things like that that are that are pumped up the voltage on it, like as if I had written these songs, they're tracked that way, you know, and they're more grooving and stuff. And we changed it to the Blue Donnie V. It was going to be the Fallen Blue, and I like that name, and because I have done some stuff for the charity before, and that's the families of police officers that have died in the line of duty, them and firemen and stuff like that. And I've done some stuff for them before, and so I said, well, you know, that'd be a really good thing to, especially when they're not seeing any love right now, the police and stuff like that. And I figured if somebody like me, I have a lot of relationships with the police, but I've always been on the business end of all of that, you know? But in any case, yeah, we're doing that. And you know, there'd be the proceeds and everything go to that organization, but that was why he was referring to me covering something. And he said, why don't you try something difficult? And I did it. I did the Taylor Swift song, and you know, it's not, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm happy that I did it or not. I did the best I could with it and kind of popped it out. But so after that, there was a lot of flack and this and that from some of the fans and some of the people. And so I said, okay, well, let's see who's the one of mine. Everybody, if you can talk, let's see it. You know, do you want cover one of my tunes? And so it ended up being a contest, and quite a few bands entered, and there was some really interesting renditions of some of the songs, and that's what I was looking for. I wanted to hear people's own, you know, how make it the song their own, you know, and
right.
The band that won really didn't do that, but they did a very, very good cover version of Time to Let You Go. It was on our Strength record. I need some water right now. But they did Time to Let You Go. But it sounds almost as if, almost like my version, or Enough's Enough version. But it was really good. And the contest was judged by the fans, not by me. I didn't want to be the judge of that. And so that's what they voted for, and that's who won.
That's cool. Yeah. Now, one thing I saw that you said, too, on Facebook, on the postings was you know, you were really, I guess, almost kind of blown away by some of, you know, all the input you got and all the versions you got and all, and you were really impressed. And it seemed like, for some of them, like you kind of like, it sounded like you almost wanted to like help mentor some of these people and like help them with their musical careers.
Well, you know, I haven't done a lot of that in my career. You know, it's like teaching or producing other people and stuff like that. You know, I've always been busy doing my own thing. And the few times that I have done that, you know, some things can get pretty negative if you're the producer, where there's animosity between the band and, you know, it's a different vision. And so I've done it a couple times, and the end result always came out really good. But I'm figuring, you know, at this age and everything that I've done, I wanted to hear if there was somebody out there, you know, that was interested in me helping and that I could help, you know. And that was another comment on it. You know, I'm gonna produce a song. I've actually, turns out that I wrote them a song.
Oh, cool. But is that something that you've wanted to do, like, in your career, like work with other artists and produce other artists and do stuff like that?
No, but you know, like, as I said, I'm older now, and, you know, I got a lot of, I've got some extra time, and it's something that I haven't done. And so it's another avenue to explore. And now I'm considering it, you know.
Interesting.
I've got a lot of, I have a lot of tricks that I've learned through the years, and a lot of little things that I do that work, you know, and you discover these through, you know, 20 something years of doing this. And, just seeing if I found something that I would have to really like it to produce it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And,
right.
And if there was something out there that I really did like, and they were interested in me producing, I would be probably more inclined to do it. You know, we'll see what happens.
It sounds like you kind of like have shocked yourself at the thought of that. Like,
I've shocked myself at a lot of things in the last 5-6 years. You know, every life is totally new and totally different. I'm a happier guy.
Well, speaking of being a happy guy, like, how have you held up during the whole pandemic and everything? Like, besides writing beautiful music, which you've done for us,
it hasn't really affected me much. You know, I don't do anything anyway. I don't go anywhere. I don't go out anymore and shit. You know, but it hasn't really affected me. I'm just doing what I do. I'm just continuing to record. I mean, some of the shows were getting canceled. By now we probably would have been playing quite a bit. And, but it did give me a chance to get a couple other things going. Like, well, besides the fact of building my mother a brand new bathroom and, out of a sun porch and building a studio here. And, there's a project that we're working on with some other guys that's going to be very interesting. I think people will get a kick out of it, and it will be industry newsworthy when it happens. I'm not going to mention what it is right now, but it's more in the vein of what I used to do.
Nice.
Without the drugs.
Well, that's good. That's definitely good. Now, something that people have been doing during this whole live stream during this whole pandemic is doing live streams. Yeah. Have you thought about doing that at all since you had to cancel shows with the band? And
yeah, this where I'm working right now, as I'm up in here now, it's kind of claustrophobic, and it really doesn't lend itself to that kind of thing. But that's why I was hoping that as soon as I get this done, which should be next week, I should be into my studio, you know, and it's got space, and it's suitable for that stuff. And I want to take it up a level from what the most people are doing. I'm going to, you know, kind of take the songs, the set list, and record little backing tracks to go with it. So that
when
I'm singing and playing along with, you know, there's a little bit of a beat, a little bit of bass, and some keys or whatever there is in that, you know, so it's not as empty. You know, I mean, I could do that, but I'd like to take, you know, everybody's doing that. I'd like to do something that, you know, that's a little bit more than that. And yeah, that's what I'm planning to do. That probably, I was hoping to have done it by now, but that didn't happen. So probably next month, and I'll do a couple of shows, some Facebook Live shows, and I think I'll do one for a couple of different time zones. You know, Europe
right.
is a different time zone. Here is a different time zone, and I'm not going to go sit on there every day like a lot of, you know. Is it? That'd be too much of me.
Yeah, I've seen some people that they've kind of like overdone it.
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those.
So the new single that we're going to talk about, it did actually come out today, All My Favorite Things. So I got to ask, what are some of your favorite things, Don?
Oh, well, I mentioned some of them in the, you know, obviously drinking isn't anymore, but you know, good food, you know, good friends, writing, playing music. Again, I like doing it again with good other musicians and good people. I like interacting with the fans. I like doing sort of giving back service, kind of service work, and, you know, helping people out. And, you know, a lot of people come to in my PMs and, you know, to talk about things that are the struggles that they're having and that I've gotten through. And, I help a lot of them. Well, I'll try to help them out and talk them through different things, talk a few down off the ledge. There's this new charity thing. I like actually doing normal things. I've never done normal things. I like doing things like, you know, building something, fixing something. It's things like that. I've kind of been enjoying those more than I enjoy doing my job. Everybody's telling me, I'm like, well, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to do this tomorrow. And they're like, would you just get to your videos you got to do and this and that? I'm like, I'll get it out. I'm enjoying just kind of living a life for the first time I never had, you know. It's always been kind of a dark rat race. And so now it's not. This first time in my life, I kind of feel peace of mind and kind of happy. And I got like a little family here of people that, you know, that I'm living with. And it's a wonderful woman and her boy and her girl. And they've accepted me and welcomed me into their home. And I love them. I think they love me. And it's cool. It's something new. It's different. And I didn't know if I was, I'm glad they got the best me that I've ever been, you know, and I didn't know if I was capable of being in a situation like this. There's some things I'm still not capable of, but some things that I'm not so bad at, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you've come a long way. I mean, people have all, you know, heard some of the horror stories that happened to you over the years, and, you know, you've come a long way. And I think the one key word you said in all that is the happiness. You're having some happy times now, and that's really good, man.
Yeah, it's peace of mind, you know. Every now and then, I look around, I go, am I happy? You know, it's like, this is new. You know, I've never, those thoughts never came to my mind. I always looked at happiness as something, I guess that's not my thing. I guess that maybe I'm here for, I have a cross to bear, and cause I seem to be like, the spokesman for, like I said, the king of the broken. And I think that I was kind of assuming and accepting the fact that that's going to be my thing, you know, because, you know, there's so many people have come and actually said, there's a few of them that you literally saved my life. I was going to kill myself, you know, in this song or this and that, you know, and then you think about that and how can you put a price on that? You know, that's worth all the money in the world. And so I could live with that if that's what my compensation for what I do, you know. It nothing makes me feel better than making people feel better, contrary to what others might say about me, you know. I'm only a jagoff if you're a jagoff. I only shoot the bullets you hand me, you know.
What goes through your head though, like when somebody comes to you like that, like, you know, that your music saved our life, like, you know, or they were contemplating suicide or something? I mean, that's got to be kind of,
it's there's no feeling like that, you know.
Yeah,
it's indescribable. It's you know, it's, I really can't pat myself on the back for it, because I'm just empathizing. And I don't really take the credit for most of the stuff that I create and do. It's like magic. It comes from somewhere, and I know that there's some other source that's sending me these songs and these messages just the way that they come. It's it'd be a long conversation to describe that to you, but I know that there's something else that's working through me, and so it all makes sense. You know, I get to be the cool singer, you know, that gets to get the accolades. So how cool is that, you know?
It's absolutely cool. So now the song, was it written at the during this whole time of the pandemic?
Huh?
Was the song written during the whole time of the pandemic?
Up there. I didn't hear it.
What was the song written during the whole time?
Oh, all my favorite things?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're freezing up. No, actually, I wrote it real shortly after I got out of the hospital. It kind of was worrying people and made a few people that were close to me kind of sad and scared that was my attitude, you know. And And so along with a lot of songs I've tracked and wrote, I just went on another spurt and it was crazy. Like 15, close to 20 really, really great songs that I just went on a roll. When they come, you know, you got to sit there and
sure,
you got to give them, bring them to life, you know, and just went on a roll. And it was one of them. And I just thought, you know, that's really heartfelt. You know, I got, it was a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm like a storyteller. It's like a book writer. You write stories and create scenarios and things. And now that I'm not all fucked up and sad anymore, you know, it's like, what am I going to write about now? You know? And there's some people that are like, well, we like your sad songs. I'm like, well, that sucks. Thanks a lot. You know, it's not so great a deal for me, but it was a really heartfelt one. And then once this happened, I felt like, wow, this is something everybody could feel. You know,
it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Any chance I could twist your arm? Oh, any chance I could twist your arm to play it? Yeah.
Sure.
Look at that.
I'll play it. Yeah, we already talked about that. I said I would. I don't want to play the whole thing, but I'll play some of it. Okay.
That's cool.
Does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man.
Oh, let's see if I remember. I actually tracked it a while ago. Oh, man. Can you hear that?
Yeah. There you go.
Well, I just found out. And I still don't know. What's all the fuss about? If the flowers grow, will it feel all right? But I'm not okay. Why would I choose to fight the same thing happens anyway? Hey, I love to stay up all night long, singing songs and drinking with my friends. Fast girls, fast food, and smoking cigarettes. If this is how it has to end, I guess that's just the way it goes. I won't let nothing clip my wings. I'd rather take my chances in the dark than lose all my favorite things.
That is beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, my God, Don. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I made a couple people cry. You know, they're like, well, hey, man, don't do that. You know, but like I said,
dude,
I'd rather live on my own terms than spend 20 years, you know, living like a monk.
More like, I mean, dude, you sound like a superhero. That was beautiful.
Superhero, right? That's the other. I put on my cape and fight crime at night. Might as well.
Yeah, man, you should be. You should be fighting crime now.
Well, who would I be? Rat Man?
The Don Man.
The Don Man? I don't know. You know what? I got, there's a little boy here that he's not really so little. He's a superhero freak. You should ask him about that.
Really?
Hey, man.
I love superheroes. Here, I love comic books.
Let me get him. There he is. Is Joey around? He's a superhero freak. Here, sit down for a second. He'll ask him some questions about that.
Okay.
Here, sit down.
History.
Yeah,
this is Joey.
I'm checking if yours is working.
Joey, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing good.
I hear So you're a big superhero fan?
Yeah, I've been a diehard since I was a kid.
Me too.
Really?
Do you like Marvel or DC better?
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I like both. I like both. Both Marvel, DC. They're pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, who's your favorite Marvel superhero?
Favorite Marvel hero?
Oh, yep.
Captain America, always.
Ooh, nice, okay. Nice. For me, it's Spider-Man.
Oh, my God. Spider-Man's a good one. I like his character a lot.
How about DC?
DC is Batman.
Honestly. You have to go Batman. How about, do you like The Flash?
Oh, yeah. Flash is actually, I've watched the show, and it's really interesting. I haven't got back on the rest of the show, but I heard it's really good.
I love the show. How about Green Arrow? Do you watch the show Arrow?
Oh, my God, no. I people in my community college tell me, you got to watch Arrow. But now
you got to watch Arrow.
Is it good?
Best show ever on TV.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I can't tell you how many times that show's made me cry.
Well, okay, though. That's, I got,
it's intense. It's intense. You got to watch it from the beginning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Who plays Green Arrow? Stephen Amell, right?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, who's the superhero with that big hand you got? You know that big hand?
Yeah. Sorry about this. What's up, Donnie?
What's that big hand you got? That what superhero?
Oh, that's Thanos. That's Thanos.
Oh, the Thanos hand.
Like yeah, guy. He was wondering which Donnie was wondering which hero has the gauntlet, whatever. But yeah, Thanos is a villain, Donnie.
Go get your hand after when I finish this. Don't show him what you do with it, though.
but are you a big Star Wars fan too?
Yeah, I've seen all the movies.
Really?
Yeah, I watched the TV show, The Mandalorian. Recently, I got the Baby Yoda, which is hilarious. Now I can show it to my friends.
That's awesome.
I'm thinking about taking it to the Star Wars theme park down at Disney World or Disneyland.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You got it all going on. You got the world of superheroes, Star Wars.
To say goodbye. Say goodbye to your fans, Joey.
All right. I'll see you in a bit.
Down. Go get the hand.
Oh, you want me to get the gauntlet?
Yeah, go get the hand.
All right. I'll bring it.
All right.
Oh, that was cool. Thank you.
That's awesome.
You should absolutely see this thing he's got. I have a few ideas for this hand. He's got this big old hand. I shouldn't say anything, but yeah, he's a character here. That's the boy. You know, he lives here, and I live with them. And it's interesting. It's fun. You know, they seem to like me. I love
them. They've taken you in. They've accepted you.
Yeah, there's a young girl too. She's 18. You know, that's 18-year-old little girls are a different animal than human beings. You know what I mean? She seems to. If you can win over the heart of an 18-year-old young girl who's just, you know, they hate the world, they hate everybody, but she's pretty pleasant. She's pretty pleasant, and that's a big one. That's a big one to you know, be accepted by somebody like her. You know, and Joey, he's pretty easygoing. You know, he's like you hear it him. He loves that stuff. You know, and you know.
Now you're gonna have to write a superhero song for Joey.
Thank you for doing that, by the way. That was nice.
Dude, absolutely.
Superhero song for Joey?
Yeah, Joey, man.
I don't even think they've ever listened to one of my songs. You know, the daughter, her name is Lauren, and her and her friend are the ones doing the rap on that Taylor Swift song I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They even rap. I even, you know, it was kind of embarrassing that I did it, but they came and helped me out with that.
So is this song going to be like, are you going to do a full album again? Or are you just going to do singles, you were saying? Or
I'm kind of playing it by ear. Like I said, I'm not giving up on the Beautiful Things record. I think it's the best thing I've ever done. And everyone that hears it, every time I listen to it again, you know, even lately, I'm like, man, that's a great record. You know, even if I didn't write it or sing it, you know, I think this is a really great record. And excuse me, that it's, I'm not giving up on it. I think it deserves more life. So I figured I'll just add singles to that, you know, and with the theme, and like I made a little picture video to go along with it where, it's once again, it's the fans that are sending in pictures of them with me or them partying or this and that. And I figured, because it was going to be for party time, was going to be the original idea.
Right.
But we ended up, you know, I wanted to, I can't wait. I can't keep secrets and stuff. So we shot the gun and put them in it. And they seemed, I love that. I love that theme because it's all about the fans to begin with. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why you do it. And that's, there's, you know, there's, we're small, but we're mighty. And it's like, when we did the record cover for Beautiful Things, I thought, man, this is a really great idea. I've never seen anybody do it before. And they really appreciated it. And that's what more beautiful could it be than them? And so just keeping on that theme and just adding to that record, I think that might be a, right now, that's kind of my frame of mind. Now to make another whole record, I mean, I could do it. I have the material. I'm working on a couple other projects too. But like I said, there was one of them's very interesting. But it's costs a lot of money to make a record, you know. And the last one I made, I did the Pledge thing, you know.
I
go with that, and you know what happened with Pledge? They just fucked everybody. They took all the money and all the Pledger's money and split, left town. And I left me holding the bag for all the expenses. And you know, that was a lot of money. My sister and I basically, you know, paid for all of that. And that's why I ended up taking this deal, that Deco deal, was to get those CDs that the fans had pledged. And that's
right.
And they wanted to get that to them, you know, because. So if I did it again, I would probably go that route, but maybe direct, you know. And I'm not very good at begging for charity, you know what I mean? It's not something that I'm, you know, that I can accept or live with. But you know, if they want me to make a record and they want to pay for it, I'll do it.
right, exactly. The one thing is though too, like I like what you said, and I think. You know, when you have an album like that you put out, like, that is an amazing album, you know, you got tremendous feedback on it from critics around the world, and to let it breathe and still, I mean, it's still got a lot of life that could get out there and do some more action with it.
Yeah, that's what I figure, you know, and it never really got a chance, you know, from one thing to another. There was so many. That record got so many dicks in its ass. Everything that could go wrong to it, it did, you know. And you know, that's a story of a lot of my life. But I'm not letting that happen to this record. That's like the best thing I ever done. And the way that it came about, and the way the songs came about, and everything just was, it came from somewhere else. And it was like, I'm not giving up. You know, I'm doing my job, and so I'm just gonna continue to add new songs to it, you know. So
nice.
Who knows, maybe it'll re-release it with 20 more songs on it one day.
It could end up being a greatest hits package, so you just keep adding stuff to it.
How many I was thinking about making I don't know if there's, has anybody ever made like a triple, how many albums like has somebody ever made before and one record, like I know a double album, I've done one of those already. Is there a quadruple?
I know Bernie Tourme, the old Ozzy Gillen guitarist, he did a triple album a few years ago, but he did like one album was like a rock album, one was an acoustic, and then another one was a live one, but it was all in one packaging, one album.
Well, I can see that. That's kind of like, I bet he had all these things already sitting around, you know what I mean? So he put them all together. He didn't set out to make an actual triple album.
Right.
Plus, I've never heard of him. I bet you I'm better. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I think I could do it. You know, if it was a challenge, you know, and it was worth it, I bet I could do it.
I'm sure you can. So how about... one thing I saw on your Facebook page as well, you had asked at one point, like, if there was going to be a movie of your life, who would be the celebrity to play you? So I got to ask you that question. Who would you want to play you in the Donnie V movie?
Probably John C. Reilly. He's the guy that did Walk Hard. He's hilarious. Couldn't be anybody very good looking. somebody funny. I don't know. That's not for me to decide. I can't. Who, Robert Redford?
Yeah, there you go.
some old man.
Oh, man. Well, Donnie, this has been a great catching up, man. Where's the single available at? Is it streaming services for purchase?
I believe it's everywhere. Everywhere that anybody else is releasing singles. You can go to my website, Deco's website, Spotify, iTunes, whatever, CD Baby, everywhere that other people are releasing them, you know. And like I said, in I think August, it'll be a vinyl. There'll be a vinyl 45.
And then that's when it's Party Time's going to come out on the flip side of that?
When it's party time, yeah.
When it's party time. Nice.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I want to do another one of those, a 45, you know. I already got the idea for what it's going to look like and everything. It'll be cool.
How about doing cassette single? Because cassettes are coming back too.
I used to like doing cassettes when I was younger, but you know, we do the four tracks and stuff because you could go out and play it in your car.
Right.
But now not only do I not have a car, I don't have a cassette player. I got a motorcycle and there's no cassette player on it, but I'll do whatever, you know. I mean, I don't think that's going to catch on too big, you know. The record was cool because, like, you used to, I mean, where is that thing? The old days. Where you growing up, this is what you sat and listened to, you know, these things. And you'd sit there and you'd look at the cover and you'd try to look at the picture of them and stuff. Yep. And like all of it was up here. Your imagination did the work. And they would be whoever that they were in your mind. You know, they were bigger than life. And, you know, this is where it's at, is a record. You know, those tapes, you know, we got a couple things on tapes. I think one came with Animal Crackers or something. I don't think I'm going to do tapes. Maybe unless if 8-tracks come back, I'll do that one.
There you go. Cool. Well, Donnie, this has been a great catching up, man. It was great to actually see you, and thank you for playing that for us. That was amazing.
My pleasure, brother. Anytime.
And, you know, I don't have to tell you to keep in touch because you always do now.
That's my job. You know? You keep in touch too, bro. Anything you ever need, you need an asshole for 5 minutes to fill some time or something that can come on and talk about things I don't know about, criticize things I don't know about, then just call me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can do that. Cool, man.
Well, all right.
Stay safe out there, and thank you again. And DonnieV.com, right?
Yep. Thank you for thinking of me.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
You too, buddy.
Peace.